Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show.
Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul, your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process.
Hey there, and welcome to the show. Today, I'm delighted to bring you a fantastic guest. He's an author many times over, does important work with leaders. And today we're going to be talking about his new book, Seeing People Through. Our guest today is Nate Regeer. He's a PhD and the CEO and co-founder of Next Element, a global training advisory firm specializing in leadership communication and building cultures of compassionate accountability. Love that phrase, and we're going to find out a little bit more about that. He's a former practicing psychologist and holds a doctorate in clinical psychology from the University of Kansas. Nate, welcome to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul. Thank you so much for being here.
David, thank you. I really appreciate it, and I just love the work you do with both the great content you create and also the curating of wonderful content that you put out there. I think today there's so much information, and having trusted sources that will give us really good stuff is so important. So thank you for what you do.
I appreciate that. And if you're a follower of Let's Grow Leaders, you'll certainly recognize Nate's name from the monthly leadership festival that we do, Frontline Festival. And he's been a longtime contributor and is always sharing great value. So you'll get to find out where to follow Nate here in a little while. But before we started recording, we were talking a little bit about that phrase, compassionate accountability. Compassionate accountability. I just love that. So can you explain what compassionate accountability is all about?
Sure. These are two words that we don't normally see go together. And it's based on the kind of this fundamental reality is that compassion without accountability gets you nowhere. You can't nice your way towards big change. And we see that now with what's going on in our world. We need bold action and tough decisions. At the same time, though, accountability without compassion gets you alienated. Nobody wants to work for a leader who is heavy-handed, brings the hammer down, and thinks that mean, tough love is the only way to deal with performance. So these two need to coexist, and we need tools and strategies and frameworks to be able to balance, like I've heard you say, the results with relationships.
And I appreciate what you were saying there is that nice is not compassion. It's not kindness at all. In fact, often we're harming somebody by allowing them to continue to suffer or struggle or remain in a role that isn't a good match for them or not understand the consequences of their own behavior. And that as leaders, we have an opportunity to do that if we'll have the courage to be truly compassionate and practice accountability. What is the word compassion you were explaining at one point has a particular meaning. What is that?
Well, it's compassion is two words. It comes from the Latin root meaning to struggle with. Com means with or alongside, and passion means to suffer or to struggle. So compassion is not to take the struggle away from someone by fixing their problem. It's not to make them do all the struggling by leaving them out on their own. It's to struggle together. We are both changed and transformed in the process of compassion. And it requires that we preserve dignity and humanity while we are problem solving, while we are attending to our highest principles and commitments and obligations to each other.
By that, beautifully said. So Nate, I ask every guest one question as we start, which is,
What is your earliest memory of yourself as a leader?
That's a great question. I probably would not have been able to tell you this 20 years ago. But when I look back now, I grew up the son of missionary parents in Africa. I spent about my first 10 years in a very small rural farm in Zaire in the tropical Africa. And my typical day was running around barefoot, you know, no shirt on, bleach blonde hair from the sun, playing with all the local kids, doing stuff. And I think probably my first earliest memory was I loved to rally the troops to get a project done. Maybe we decided we wanted to build a little replica of a mud hut that someone else was building and we were going to do it. So it was getting people together, leveraging all of the different gifts and resources we had to come together and get a project done. I probably would just have said, I'd like to rally the troops.
Fantastic. And I mean, isn't that the essence of leadership, right? Bringing people together to do something that's bigger than any one of you alone. That's fantastic. All right. So we are here today to talk about Seeing People Through, which is your new book. It's coming out, if you're listening in real time, it's coming out in August. And if you're after August listening, it's available now. So go get it. Seeing People Through is, it's about leadership communication, and it's more than just leadership per se. I mean, but it will serve every leader in your communication. So Nate, I know you are passionate about this subject. And so I want to let you explain the main thrust of Seeing People Through. There's a fortune cookie involved, all kinds of fun things.
Yeah. But
give us the 50,000 foot view. What are we talking about in the content of the book? And then we're going to dive deeper.
Yeah. Well, it all starts in the turn of phrase that is the title. And the title is Seeing People Through. And then the subtitle mentions the process communication model. The process communication model is a behavioral model of communication that looks at how do different personalities communicate. And, you know, individual differences in personality and preferences really only matter if two or more people are trying to get something done. Otherwise, I can do it however I want to with my own preferences, whatever. And when two or more people are trying to get something done, individual differences only matter in as much as we can communicate with each other through those differences. So PCM, Process Communication Model, is a model of communication through individual differences in personality. The reason the book is titled Seeing People Through is because this fortune cookie you mentioned, that you can read the story, but the fortune cookie said, the intention is not to see through people. The intention is to see people through. And I wonder how many leaders have used assessments and tools and models and frameworks and tests to figure people out and to get people to do what they want, and have used it as a weapon to see through people rather than to struggle with people in compassion and see them through into both of our fullest potential. And so that's the basic gist.
Well, that notion of using personality assessments, behavior profiles, all of those different tools as almost as a weapon or as an instrument of manipulation or force certainly happens. I mean, it's one of the reasons that many people loathe them is they feel like they get pigeonholed and labeled, and that's not the intent at all. When they're used in a good way, obviously, but it certainly happens. I've seen it over and over again, and you know, I've helped teams and leaders kind of recover from that process. So talk to us about the notion, how do you communicate through differences and in the differences?
Yeah.
I love that, the phrasing there, and I know you're very intentional about using those words. So what does that look like?
Well, it starts with this, I think, a real mindset shift about what is personality. And most people think of personality as types of people. You're a this, you're a that, you're like a badger, or you're this color, or whatever. And there's many models. But what if we thought of personality not as types of people, but types in people? And this model says, yes, there are multiple personality types, but they are all inside each of us in a preferred set order in a certain way, and they influence how we communicate. So what that means then is communicating through differences means first making friends with that part in me, and then I can see that part in you. And that's fundamentally different than saying, well, I'm a this and you're a that, so I have to figure out how to communicate with you or tolerate you because you're different. And that's maybe where most personality training kind of stops, unfortunately, because we don't really appreciate that what is in me is in you, and we're connected. And that really has fundamental implications for how we lead.
So can you give us a practical example? Like what is, so there are differences within each of us and they are in a set order. So let's talk about some of those that, you know, if somebody's listening today, like, okay, well, what are some of my differences? And we don't want to give the whole model. They need to read the book, but what does that look like?
Well, I'll tell you, I'll use myself as an example. The six personality types in us are called the thinker, the persister, the harmonizer, the rebel, the promoter, and the imaginer. And we all have all six of these. My base fundamental strongest type is the promoter. That's why I rallied those kids. I used persuasion and charisma to get the job done. And my next most important floor is called the thinker. So strategy, designing things, thinking through stuff, applying logic is really important to me as well. And so people communicate with me by keeping it moving, showing me the logic model, and appealing to my logical strengths. But if I want to communicate to someone different than me, I have to go find that part in my personality. Over the last few years, my biggest learning edge has been that harmonizer part, because those are strongly developed parts on my team. And I know that unless I can speak to them in their wavelength, speak to them in language and body language that they can relate to, they don't feel comfortable and safe enough to be able to take risks and give me everything that they've got. So it's kind of like personality is not a puzzle. It's like a maze. And we learn how to walk through with each person. And so when I can find that part in me, I can speak to them in that way. And then they can manifest all that's possible in their personality.
All right. So that makes sense so far. I think I'm tracking. So you've got, you've got harmonizer in you. It may not be one of your strongest preferences, but you know that there are times that that's how you feel, or that's how you approach life or approach people. And so when you are needing to communicate effectively with a harmonizer, you're going to think about and reflect about what that feels like, looks like for you.
Yep. Yeah.
And then how do you go and speak their language, so to say?
Great question. And this is really gets to the fundamental, the title of your podcast, which is Leadership Without Losing Your Soul. And a lot of people think if I'm going to adapt myself to speak to you, then I'm being a chameleon and I'm not being true to myself, or I'm not being authentic. But what I'm really doing is finding that part in me and leveraging it and channeling it. So what that means for me is I have to realize that there's a difference between the content of what I'm trying to communicate and the process of how I do it. So let's say that my harmonizer base colleague, I want to engage them around a new concept I have for a course. And I've got all these action ideas, I've got a strategy, but I know that's not how they're going to engage. So I channel my inner harmonizer and I approach them and I say to them, I really am so happy you're on my team. I care about how you feel about this because you know the human experience of going through this course. I'm curious if you'd be willing to let me know how this feels to you when I share this. And instantly now I'm connecting to them where they can relate to the content. They can hear what I'm talking about. And now their personality structure can be unlocked to give me the best of what they have.
So that's such a powerful example, because I can imagine people on my team or in past teams for whom that style would be very effective. And I imagine most folks listening today, you can picture somebody who that would work, even if it's very different, even uncomfortable for you to communicate that way.
Yeah.
But as a promoter or a thinker, if someone approached you that way, it would probably not resonate.
No. And that happens. So if someone approached me that way, I would probably experience that as, why are we doing all this touchy feely stuff? Just get to the facts, get to the point. What are we going to do about it? But my teammates also use these tools. So they might come to me and practice the platinum rule instead of the golden rule and come to me and say, hey, Nate, bottom line, there's three things I want to accomplish here and I've laid it out in two bullet points. Will you take a look at it? I'm in like this. So I look at that and now I'm so energized by how they communicated with me that I can now move up in my personality and connect with them at their level. And we can communicate in all these different ways and show really ultimate respect for each other's personalities.
Yeah, both of those are compassionate forms of communication. Yeah. They're both respectful because they see the other person And as a leader, one of my favorite kind of mantras when it comes to leadership is, I'd rather be effective than right.
I love that.
I put right in quotes, because right for most of us typically is just whatever our natural preference is.
Yep.
And so in communication, being effective means speaking their language.
Yeah.
If you want to get the best results.
Yeah. I would suggest it's selfish to stick with my favorite kind of communicating and claim that I'm being true to myself or authentic when I know I have all the rest of those in me, and I know that it would be more effective to adapt for that person. I think it's just selfish to not act on that knowledge.
So, Nate, what recommendations do you have for leaders who are hearing this, and maybe they have past experience with personality assessments or behavioral styles and those kinds of things, and they're what we're talking about is making sense. Yeah, I can see that. There are different communication models. So, but boy, six of them, and they're just now encountering the process communication model for the first time. Where do I start? What do I do? Yeah.
Well, shameless plug for the book, since I'm talking about the book. The book is set up to be to bring people on that journey in two ways. One is, it's a fable. It's a story. And so you can join the main character as they go through that journey, or you can use reference guides and tips to be able to learn this as you go. But the fundamental thing I would say to leaders is that whatever model you use, whether you're going to learn this one or not, personality is not an entitlement program. And so learning about your personality does not make you less accountable and less responsible. You don't get to hide behind, well, I'm an introvert, so nobody talk to me before lunch. No, learning about your personality means you are now more responsible and more accountable to live into that instead of hiding behind it.
Well said, well said. Do not hide behind. It's not an entitlement program. So we're going to start with the self-knowledge. We're going to be looking for that in others. Get the book. Go through it. The fable is powerful. And there are moments that stood out to me. One of them that was, I thought, very powerful captures a common human interaction. And the main character is talking to her significant other, I think, at dinner as she's just learning about the model and so forth. And they have an interaction. And he kind of pours cold water on her enthusiasm for what she's experiencing at her new job. And there's this scene that you describe where she immediately withdraws, as we're all familiar with that scenario, right? Yeah. Either as the cold water pourer or the pourer, either one, right?
Yeah.
But then she starts to think about it and says, wait a minute, where is that coming from? What expression is happening there? What is their process? All right. It was just a beautiful moment and one that I think we could all use so much more of.
Yeah.
So I'm calling attention to that because I think this skill to recognize when we start to shut down, to somehow get ourselves out of that and to look for what's happening in the other is incredibly powerful and important, particularly as leaders who are trying to be influential and effective.
Yep.
Do you have any advice on how to do that?
David, thank you for bringing attention to that interaction because it was very intentional. I wanted to show this because it's a process of maturity and a process of growth that most people don't get to when they learn about individual differences. And very often we learn about it and now we can have awareness and maybe tolerance. And so Kayla, the main character, at first starts to say, oh, my boyfriend's different than me. Okay, so I don't have to take it personal. But in that moment, she goes one step further and says, this is not about me. This is about how he sees the world and how he's experiencing what I'm saying. And if I want to connect with him, I have to meet him where he's at first. And then we journey together. So in one moment, she realizes that within me is that persister type that is strong in my boyfriend. And if I put myself in his shoes, I can see how he's experiencing this and have compassion for it, but also then adapt how I frame it so he will hear me. And instead, I don't have to feel like he doesn't care and doesn't hear me. I can feel like I can wrap this package in a way that he would want to open it.
Oh, I love that. Wrap the package in a way that he would want to open it. That process of truly seeing other people sounds like work.
Yep. It's hard work because You know, what Kayla had to do in that moment is she had to recognize her own distress, which if she starts to shut down, if she starts to get defensive and starts to say, well, maybe I'm not okay, or maybe he's just a bad listener, instantly she loses all resiliency and all flexibility to travel anywhere else in her personality condominium. And she now cannot see the world in any other way than her own. And it becomes very self-centered, very focused, and very ineffective. And so it takes a lot of work to be aware of that second by second and then transcend it to be able to be effective instead of justified.
Well, and that sounds like a very familiar pattern that we are experiencing in the world right now. Between, as we're recording this, we're dealing with COVID is out there. You've got all of the tensions in the United States that are happening, the civil unrest, and a minute on social media reinforces everything that you just said, the negative experience of those things. I'm curious about right now, as leaders are engaging with their teams, aware of all of the range of emotions that their people might be experiencing right now. All sorts of anger, frustration, grief, you name it, irritation, frustration. I mean, there's just this whole range. How does process communication model, how can we use it in these kinds of moments?
I'm so glad you asked, because my passion has been, so what, now what? I believe any tool or methodology is only as good as its practical application. And so right now, a specific example that I've been writing about, talking about, is each personality type in us has a kind of a specific emotional Achilles heel. And it's that thing that that personality type is kind of uniquely challenged by. It's not naturally set up to deal well with it. So when life presents us with that issue, and that's our primary personality type, we can really kind of get to, short circuiting. And so what I'm trying to do is reveal those six patterns to give people a voice, say, hey, if this is you, what you're feeling is okay. And here's a healthy way to talk about it, deal with it, face it, instead of avoiding it and then ending up in distress, doing lots of self-destructive stuff. And there's not one size fits all, but there are six. And so I'm trying really hard to say, and I'm happy to share a specific example if you want, but that's where it gets really practical.
I love that. And you are making me think about myself. I was laughing as you were talking about the triggers. I think and not having gone through the whole process and I self-identified, but just as we're talking through, I know that Thinker is one of my top, it's either number one or two in my rank order. But so it will come as no surprise that a couple of weeks ago, I was really struggling and I was talking to a couple of friends and they said, in so many words, David, your bottom line problem here is that you're expecting people to act rationally when they're upset. And that's not how people act when they're upset. And it was related to some people's reactions with COVID and masks and some of these different things. Yeah. But, and I just couldn't understand some of the callousness I was seeing, and it was something that it didn't make sense. As I tell my friends, so basically you're telling me that people don't always behave rationally and I need to accept that. This is not the first time I've been told that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you touch on two really important parts here, and Thinker is my strongest, most important floor right now, so I can relate. And one of the challenges that you had a mirror held up to is that our perceptual frame of reference doesn't apply to everybody. And the Thinker personality type is only shared at the most strongest part is only shared by 20% of the population, and 75% of them are men. So when we say, why isn't everybody thinking clearly? Why aren't they logical? We are assuming that the other 80% of the world is built just like us and that they would be okay if they were like us. So there's built-in unconscious bias and prejudice there. But let's dig one layer deeper. What if your friend and my friend said to us, what you're really dealing with is the grief of loss of control that you've known intellectually, but you're experiencing really, that you actually can't control how things turn out. You can't even control your schedule right now. You can't even plan more than a week in advance and things are going to change. So you are losing time and losing future second by second. And if you don't feel sad about that, and if you don't grieve that authentically, you're going to be a jerk.
It'll
eat you right up. And instead, you will manifest it as trying to over-control everything, which is the dark side of the thinker. So these dynamics, we really have to pay attention to if we're going to get truly authentic and truly honest as leaders.
Karen is going to love listening to this podcast. I can tell you that right now. But I share that as an example because that's the kind of work that every one of us can do. And as we become aware of those things and you take advantage of the book and seeing people through and take a look at those things in yourself and become aware of them, now you can do something about it.
Yep, absolutely. And it starts with seeing ourselves through. And so the near the last chapter of the book is called self-fullness. And that's a word we've kind of crafted. Selfful is the opposite of selfish, but it recognizes what does it truly mean to put your oxygen mask on before you try to help the person next to you? What does that really look like through this lens of process communication? And leaders, we have to, because your strengths, David, of being logical and responsible and organized are so needed in the world. But what we don't need is our micromanaging and obsessive compulsive behavior because we can't deal with our own stuff. So right now we need our best gifts to be in action and in play.
Love it. And no matter who you are, as you're listening right now, you have those best gifts. And my invitation for you, and I know Nate's invitation for you, is to get the book, go through the process, and if you don't already know, to find out what those are and be able to release them, because we need them. We desperately need your best self and your best gifts out there, making your team better, your organization better, and ultimately making the world a better place and together building a better future.
Yeah, we do. And the book is a step-by-step guide, and people who like to do self-diagnosis, they'll be given plenty of ways to do that. And we do have a profile. It's amazing how accurate and sophisticated it is, but it will show you your personality structure, your primary motivators, your secondary motivators, how you sabotage yourself and distress, unconscious biases, how you make decisions, all are so important. And those you can get very accurately with the profile that's available through the book.
Awesome. Well, let's figure out where to go then. You've got everybody on the hook now. If you're listening, I'm sure that's, that kind of leadership effectiveness is what you want for yourself. Nate, where do we go to get the book, to connect with you, to find that profile, what are our next steps? Where do we go to take those?
Well, we're trying to make it easy, and it's seeingpeoplethrough.com. Everything is there. You can learn about the book. You can download a chapter. You can look at the contents. You can listen to a video where I talk a little bit about my own journey and why I'm so passionate about this. You can purchase the profile there to go with it. We've even created a free facilitator's guide that you can download for free, and it guides teams, teachers, individuals, coaches on how to leverage each chapter for personal and professional growth. And there's even a video where I interviewed the originator of this model about how he first used it at NASA, how he used it with a past president, how Pixar Animation Studios is using it to create character lines. So everything you could need is there. And if you love it and you want to support it, you can do those one-click share graphics out there. So seeingpeoplethrough.com.
All right. So we will get the link, seeingpeoplethrough.com, in the show notes. We'll get a link to the book there so you can get the book directly as well and go and share it. Take the profile, do the process. You're going to be better for it. Nate, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome. I appreciate what you're doing. Appreciate this opportunity. And together, let's keep raising the tide on compassion.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.